Curtis Houck joins us. He's the managing editor of Newsbusters, and he's fantastic in calling out the fake news. Curtis Houck, welcome back. How are you?
Good to be with you, Greg. Doing well.
So, Curtis, Tim Scott happens to be African-American, happens to be Republican, happens to be outspoken, and that does not sit well with the mainstream media, especially at a place like the Washington Post and a guy named Kessler who works there. Tell us what's going on.
Well, the overarching point, Greg, is that these people are terrified at Tim Scott. They're terrified at his success. You know, even before the speech, Glenn Kessler did a fact check, basically saying that Tim Scott didn't really grow up poor. You know, he talks about his grandfather being illiterate, and he grew up on a cotton farm, and he was in backcountry South Carolina having to deal with racism. He was being forced; his grandfather was forced out of school at third grade to pick cotton in fields. You know, and Kessler tried to poo-poo that by saying, well, Tim Scott's family owned a bunch of land, so therefore they weren't actually that oppressed, and Tim Scott's been lying about his background, that he went from his family went from cotton to Congress. And we actually reached out to him to ask him about this, and he told us that the publication of his Tim Scott fact check, quote unquote, was entirely a coincidence to his speech. It just so happens that a day or two before his rebuttal to President Biden, he happened to be posting it. It was a, quote, strange coincidence that he told us here, though he's been running with it since then and doubling down on it, even though, as people pointed out, he himself is tied to the Getty Oil family. And an ancestor of his was a Nazi sympathizer.
Who, this guy Kessler?
Yes.
That's what. Okay. Yes. So let's, again, Kessler is a fairly well-known so-called fact checker for the Washington Post. And sometimes, you know what, he calls out Democrats, very rarely, though, and he really specialized in going after Trump and also saying things that were true or somehow not true. It's just a disaster. This is wild that, what he's saying, that this is just a coincidence, that's not true. You know more than anybody that journalists don't just sit around doing feature pieces without a point. They all need a hook. They all need a justification. Why now? Because these folks aren't particularly curious, strangely enough. They always need a nugget, something to lean on, don't they?
Exactly, exactly. And so that's what they're doing here. You know, and then he's doubled down on, he got an NPR piece of people just fawning over him and complaining about attacks from conservatives, and that he was threatened by people on Twitter. People were mean to him, Greg. And so it's so unfair, such a terrible life for Glenn Kessler. But, you know, when he did a fact check of Elizabeth Warren's claims about her being Indian, which was actually not true, as we've all learned, he refused to give a rating to that claim because, well, you know, Warren meant well because that was family folklore, and that's what she says that her family told her growing up. So there's no way to really truly evaluate whether she was lying about her Native American ancestry. So we're just going to let that pass. I mean, there's just such a double standard here, and we've seen that now with the New York Times has a story out really kind of going after Justice Clarence Thomas for being more vocal since they moved to Zoom for oral arguments, because he was famously known for not really saying much for in-person oral arguments. And a lot of conservatives have pointed out, so they're now going to go after Clarence Thomas, look for Glenn Kessler to start looking at land in Georgia where Clarence Thomas grew up in the actual Jim Crow South, you know, to really try and underline his story of really poverty to the Supreme Court here, because black conservatives, I mean, I think there's few groups in American politics that scare liberals more than that. And what they do, Greg, is they expose themselves as actual racist, because I don't think there's any other way to say it, where they have such a disdain for a group of people based on their skin color and their political ideology. And that's what we've seen on CNN and MSNBC over the last week or so. And it's, I've seen a lot of things in my career, but this is definitely one of the things that's closer to being one of the worst.
It's really fascinating. And poor Justice Thomas, brilliant man. And like in a weird way, they were feeding racist tropes by saying, well, he's not saying anything on the court for all those years. He must be dumb. And but the truth was that in oral arguments, when they're all in the room, they go by they don't go by seniority. It's just it's a jump ball. I think the Chief Justice says something, and then it's a jump ball. But you can't have that on Zoom, so you go by seniority. And I think he's the most senior guy or close to it at this point.
Correct. So he is taking advantage of that. Whereas, yes, it would be a free for all where, you know, people, justices on both sides were very talkative, you know, really had Sonia Sotomayor on the left and the late great Justice Scalia on the right. Yeah. Both of them, that's who they were. So like, whereas people that weren't very talkative, they really couldn't get a chance to butt in there. And that's totally fine. There's
Curtis,
nothing racist about that.
I got to get you on something else. And actually, I want your advice. I don't know if you've been following, but I've been really focused on Ashley Babbitt, the young woman who was shot and killed by a Capitol Hill police officer on January 6th. Now, you can say, okay, she was trespassing. She was probably breaking a few laws just by being there. But she was unarmed. Her hands were in view. And she was shot and killed by a Capitol Hill police officer. And nobody seems to give a damn. To me, it's remarkable. The day after it happened, I just noticed that Savannah Guthrie was in front of the Capitol. And they did not say one word about this fatal shooting that happened right behind her. I want to highlight it. I think every member of Congress should be asked about it. I want to know the name of the officer involved. We know it within 15 seconds of any other shooting. Why don't we know it in this case? No one's really talking about it in Washington, D.C. Why do you think they just want this case to go away?
Well, there's been issues with this entire day to begin with, because the other point, the other second story that I think a lot of people are upset about is Brian Sicknick, the lack of journalistic credibility there that he died of natural causes. But there was this thing that, oh, he was murdered. Well, was he? Not really. The D.C. medical examiners come out and said otherwise. So I think for me on Ashley Babbitt, I've kind of taken a different contrarian take that, yes, it is interesting. There is a huge double standard when it comes to knowing the name of these officers, even in cases where it was entirely justified, like in the case of Makia Bryant. We knew that officer's name, obviously, with LeBron James putting his picture out there, and people know his name and the threats that came against his family. So it's just such a difficult situation, I think, where people – the one point that I will give is – you either know everybody's name or you don't know everybody's name. And I think that's a clean standard that I think everyone should be able to come to an agreement on. And we're not getting that here. But in terms of justification, this is where I kind of differ from everybody else, where she was climbing through the glass door there. And the video was shown in the second impeachment trial. But in terms of the name of the officer, I think that's where you get a lot of agreement between people that think the shooting was justified or not justified, that, you know, it was just very peculiar that there's one set of rules for the Capitol Police and then there's another set of rules for.
Yeah, no, we need the name. I mean, no, I'll just say this. You know, according to the George Floyd legislation that passed the House, the use of deadly force was not authorized, was not in line. She was not posing an imminent mortal threat or threat of serious injury to anybody. You can climb through a window. And, you know, and just be climbing through a window. It's a tough job being a cop, and that's one of the reasons. Curtis, tell us a little bit about Newsbusters. How do we find it?
Newsbusters.org, and we're at Newsbusters on Twitter. Stay tuned. I'll give you a little peek. We've got a story coming up about fact checkers. Speaking of that, stay tuned for the site. I believe we've got that later this week. We've been looking at the lack of fact checks on Joe Biden, and that's not going to be a surprising answer. And we have more Tim Scott coverage, all the COVID and immigration crises going on, and Joe Biden is somehow not mentioned in any of these plans. So we've got some really interesting stories going on at Newsbusters, both now and into the days and weeks to come. And we appreciate everybody reading.
We love it. Okay, newsbusters.org, some great stuff there. And Curtis Houck, thanks for being with us.